And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, this is, you could hardly have a more dramatic moment. Here we are, talking calmly about the Republican convention, and we get news of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. What do you make of it? I mean, I know it just happened a few moments ago.
Well, we're seeing, in my mind, some shades of 1968. We already were on the Democratic side to an extent. You have a party that's in somewhat disarray, and they're going to be meeting in Chicago amid a known degree of protesters, the pro-Palestinian protesters. And so we were bracing for that part of the political scene. And now we get this assassination attempt against Donald Trump. If you remember, 1968 was really the years of the assassin. We had Martin Luther King. We had Bobby Kennedy. And the one that survived the attempt was George Wallace. We shouldn't forget that. So we're back to this violent discourse in American politics, and the partisans on both sides are going to have diametrically opposed takes on this. The Republicans are going to blame the liberals for this and saying they're whoever did it was trying to take law in his own hands because they couldn't beat Trump otherwise, and blaming the liberals for this. And the liberals are going to be blaming the lack of gun control and what have you on this, and Trump's propensity for violence.
Well, let's face it. There is objective truth here. It doesn't matter what each side says. The real fact is the MAGA movement is based on violence. It promotes violence. It celebrates violence. It was MAGA people who ran cars into people protesting racism and killed people and injured people. It was MAGA people who went to demonstrations fully armed and shot people who were demonstrating. Zimmerman shot three people, killed two of them, got off because he said he feared for his life.
Oh, you mean Kyle Rittenhouse?
Rittenhouse, I'm sorry, Rittenhouse.
Yeah, Zimmerman was the guy that killed the kid in the hoodie.
Another gangster, right. But the point is that it's that stream that has brought deathly violence into politics in this period. Nobody else. They. There's not the slightest evidence of any left-winger or liberal who's done anything like that, talked about doing it, prepared to do it, organized to do it. The right-wingers do it constantly.
Well, we have the congressional baseball shooting there with Steve Scalise years ago.
Yes, years ago, before the MAGA got started. That's true, right.
Yeah. But, in this, the violence, we just had the head of the Heritage Foundation talking about Project 2025 and saying we're going to have a second American Revolution. And
if the left will let it be peaceful,
that's correct. That's what he said,
right?
Implying that they're ready to go.
Right.
And don't forget, of course, January 6th.
That's exactly right.
That was the big thing. We had the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, and I always get those two mixed up. The one group that had all the guns set up outside the District of Columbia ready to go.
That's right. And aside from that, there are plenty of reports about rank and file groups that have sprung up throughout the country, right wing groups, to teach people the tactics of shooting and military activity in demonstrations against demonstrations that they don't like.
And what about the group that plotted to kidnap the governor of Michigan?
The governor of Michigan. And then the case of the county executive in New York State, in the most peaceful district in New York State, who formed this year a personal militia of 75, controlled by him, for the purpose of making sure that protesters were kept in check.
And you had the ones who were going down to the border.
Yeah, that's exactly right, to help out. All MAGA people, all of them, every single one of them.
And we've had constitutional sheriffs, you know, that group.
Yeah,
who violate the Constitution.
That's right.
Won't do their job unless it helps the MAGA movement.
That's right. So to the extent that the right wing makes a claim that violence is un-American and it's done by liberals and leftists, the fact is, if it's un-American, whether or not it's un-American, it's done by them. They're the ones doing it. They ought to make the argument that violence is as American as apple pie and point to the revolution, or I don't know what else they'd point to. I'd point to lynchings.
Well, they point to the American Revolution.
Yeah, well,
but they adopt the Chairman Mao doctrine that political power comes out of the gun.
Political power does come out of the gun. That, on that case, he's right. But the question is, that's in an extreme situation where you can't have peaceful transition of power. If you can't have peaceful transition of power, then you have to have violent transition of power, or you have to have continuous autocracy, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the issue here. What the issue is who in American history has perpetuated their power, for the most part, with the use of illegal violence? And it's always the right wing. When the defeated Klan tried to tear down black government in Wilmington, Delaware. They burnt
North
down Wilmington,
North Carolina.
Delaware. North I mean,
Carolina.
Wilmington, North Carolina. They burnt down Wilmington, North Carolina. 50 or so years later, they burnt down Tulsa. Right?
They've
3,000 lynchings throughout the country. Every one of them done by the people who were establishing the America that MAGA people want to go back to. That's the purveyors of illegal, anti-progressive violence. Those guys.
Well, don't forget, though, we had the SDS, they had the Black Panthers.
The Black Panthers didn't kill anybody. They got killed.
They got, Fred Hampton got killed.
Yeah, he got killed. All the Black Panthers did was march around the state capitol in California, whereupon Reagan said, we have to ban guns.
Yeah. As soon as black people started exercising their right to bear arms, all of a sudden that
the Second Amendment didn't count. Not for them, right?
The Second Amendment didn't count.
Yeah,
you know, and of course, you notice. In this case, the shooter was on a rooftop outside of the rally,
right?
Which, first of all, is probably a failure of the Secret Service to secure it if it was in the line of fire. But in order to get in the rally, you had to check your weapon. They checked for weapons. we have this hypocrisy all around. The Supreme Court gives broad rights to carry weapons, except in the Supreme Court, you're not allowed to do that.
That's right. The rules don't count for them.
Right.
They got rules for you. They got rules for them. That's the way it works, right?
Yeah. I use the phrase two sets of rules. Two sets of rules. One for their side and one for the rest of us.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Trump gets shot. It strengthens Trump.
oh yeah, this is going to strengthen him. And we can only imagine what's going to happen this coming week at the Republican National Convention.
Well, they'll treat him like God. After all, yeah. He rose from the dead.
They'll be on the attack. Yeah, this plays into the religious nuts too. That he can't be killed. The guy is protecting him.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and that's a good lesson. Individual terror, apart from everything else, is a failing technique. It doesn't work. Whether or not you're successful with it, it unites your enemy, if you're the guy doing it. Whoever your enemy is, the enemy gets stronger for your doing it. You knock out Trump. You think Trump is the only guy that could lead the MAGA movement? There's plenty of people who could lead the MAGA movement. Biden may think he's the only guy that can beat Trump. That's a separate matter. And that's what the Democrats are fighting about. But the truth of the matter is, anybody could lead the MAGA movement who's a charismatic, good public speaker, and a bedrock racist reactionary. If it wouldn't be Trump, it would be J.D. Vance or somebody like him. So what would be the point of knocking off Trump? If you're not going to get rid of MAGA. That doesn't do it.
You know, political assassinations have a way of backfiring. They do alter history. John Wilkes Booth killed Lincoln because of his racism. Booth's not Lincoln's racism. And he probably killed the one guy that would have been the best for the South.
Yeah.
In that. We don't know what kind of a president Garfield would have been, but by all means, he would have been pretty decent. They tried to take out Teddy Roosevelt at one time. He survived. Sometimes they do change history. They do change history. This is going to play out over the next 4 months.
Well, how will the Democrats react? What are the Democrats to do? What is Biden going to do? I don't think it's good enough just to say, I wish Trump well. I'm glad he's, survived. This is an opportunity for real political leadership. I'm not sure Biden is up to it. By the time we're broadcasting this, we'll see whether he is or not. But I'm not holding my breath.
No, but then whatever he says, the Republicans going to attack him or playing politics over this thing.
Well, that's exactly what he needs to do, because this is a political event. And that's the whole point. This is not a moral event. This is a political event.
And it's both, but the Republicans are going to play politics to the hilt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this is an opportunity to give a lesson in how progressive politics should be organized and go forward. This should be an opportunity to condemn the whole history of the MAGA movement. He'd have him dead to rights on this. He can name names. He can tie them in to the whole history of racist violence that has permeated the last 150 years of American history. But I don't think he's going to do it. And he's going to miss his opportunity. And that's what political leadership is all about. Not that he makes decisions. It's that he gives leadership. That he rallies the troops.
Taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of the opportunity.
That's right. Rally the progressive forces. Rally the liberal forces.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this election is about, and that's really what the debate about whether Biden should be the candidate should be about.
Yeah. And are those that are being thought of as replacements for him, what are they going to say?
I know.
We'll see. And the down ballot, races, we understand that, the Republican office holders and would-be office holders were at that rally here in Pennsylvania. Dan Muser.
My congressman.
Your congressman was there. you indicated that Dave McCormick.
Dave McCormick had just been called to come up to the podium when the shots rang out. He jumped onto the floor. He was clever. I mean, the shot passed over his head. But, yeah, they were all there. That's right. They were all there.
They were all there.
Yeah. Well, many of them were there. The point is, they all need to be defeated because they've all contributed to a situation where this kind of politics by assassination is considered almost normal now. Nobody's shocked that it happened. And if it happened to Biden, people would be completely, you know, they figure it, well, what do you expect?
Well, you know, it doesn't take much imagination to think that some MAGA person or persons are going to try to get even on this thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we hope that doesn't happen. Well, we hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, and it takes the focus off a lot of the other issues.
Well, naturally, yeah.
It takes the
focus off issues altogether.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. You don't want the focus taken off issues because it's the issues that matter. Trump is a danger because of the issues. Not because he eats McDonald's hamburgers.
Well. Yeah. It's, that Project 2025.
Yes, exactly.
Which looked to me like it was starting to gain traction in people learning about it and reacting to it. We know the abortion issue still had traction, but the 2025 issue is something as well. But
the real danger here, to me, lies in the immigration deportation plan, because that's his number one issue. And why I say it's the real danger is, the plan as it's been outlined, so far as you know what the plan is about, consists of forming a federal deportation force, which consists of selected army units and federalized National Guard units, as well as those volunteers, and setting up what can only be called concentration camps in the Texas desert, and organizing a string of raids, public raids, in big cities, with the idea of terrorizing people and with mass arrests, right?
Anybody with a Hispanic name.
Anybody with a Hispanic look.
Whether you're a citizen or not.
That's right. Round them up. Get them out. Ask them, you know, look, if there's questions, answer them later.
Yeah.
This is not one by one. There's the bus. Get on the bus. There's the truck. Get on the truck. There's the cattle car. Get in the cattle car. That's the thing. That can't happen unless you have the Insurrection Act invoked so that the army has police powers. And if you read the Insurrection Act, you realize that it is effectively, in the hands of a man like Trump, martial law.
Yes. Yeah. And should this shooter be identified as an immigrant or someone who's here who shouldn't be here, the situation's going to be twice as bad.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how Hitler, he burnt down the Reichstag, in order to get power, right?
Yeah. Why waste a crisis?
That's exactly right. And if there's no crisis, manufacture the crisis.
Yeah, well, I don't think this was a manufactured crisis.
Well, we don't know yet, and you may never know. I mean, you may sometimes know, but you may not know for a while. You don't know.
What the shooter
yeah,
had.
You have no idea. Today, we don't know anything about the shooter. So,
no.
Except that he's no longer alive. It's a he, and we don't even know he's a he. We just know whoever it is not alive.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The way this plays out, it could have all sorts of twists and turns.
Which is always interesting. Why does he have to be dead? Why wouldn't it have been better to capture him alive?
Well, I think because he was still shooting, and who knows? You know, they had to get Trump off stage, and let this guy.
Well, if the guys, the guy was several hundred yards away, the agents who were getting Trump off stage were not the ones who shot the guy. Other agents shot the guy.
No, yeah, a sharpshooter probably shot him somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of people in battle gear is incredible here at the at these rallies and with the politicos.
And you know, it's very interesting. You're right. You got a battalion of guys protecting one guy, and they can't protect them. So you know, either they don't know what they're doing, or it can't be done. So why try? Why bother?
With all of the guns that they had protecting Donald Trump, he still got shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Wayne LaPierre had that famous line, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Well, it didn't happen.
I always had the idea is the only thing worse than a bad guy with a gun is more bad guys with guns.
That's right. That's right.
And that's how it should be framed.
That's exactly, you're completely right. But let's get back to the convention, the Republican convention, which opens for Monday. How do you think this will change the convention? If at all?
The amount of emotion and anger is going to be increased. We already knew that there's going to be some fervor there, but this is going to be some sort of I don't even know how to pronounce how to say it. A festival of attack on people and the values of anybody who's not a MAGA.
I think it'll be a racist attack on immigrants for sure. That's going to really be front and center. They'll be the ones guilty of creating the atmosphere that allowed our saint to be shot.
Saint Donald, huh?
Saint Donald, right.
And, I think Trump's speechwriters are rewriting his speech as we speak right now. I expected it to have the same tone as his inaugural address, the dystopian point of view and the meanness and the phony strength type of things. But now it's almost certain to be even more pervasive in that genre.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you notice that the Republicans they're going to have seven of the fake electors at the convention?
They'll be heroes.
Yeah,
they'll be heroes. All their criminals will be heroes.
Well, that's what they've made them into. You know, they talk about the insurrectionists as being hostages.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they mount placards with the photos of these insurrectionists around the room. Why not, right?
They'll certainly have an area maybe dedicated to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And when you compare that to the real hostages that are being held in Gaza, it's a travesty to equate those two things.
These are not hostages.
Don't. They're not.
These are
political prisoners.
They're exactly right.
Dogs and criminals.
But you know what? What if they were political prisoners? Assume they were political prisoners. They're not being mistreated. No, they tried to overthrow the government. They didn't succeed. They didn't succeed. So naturally, they got arrested for doing that. Can you say that's a political act? It is a political act. So they're a political prisoner. Yeah, if you succeeded, you wouldn't have been a political prisoner. The other guys would have been political prisoners. But the point is, that's not the politics that we signed up for.
No. But they were awful uncomfortable being thrown into the D.C. jail with all the normal crooks and thieves and all sorts of things, you know. they weren't surrounded by their own kind.
Right. They're being treated badly. They have to eat prison food, which all the prisoners have to eat.
And they get to put together a choir to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. Well,
you know, they're not the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I'll tell you that. They're the Moron.
The Moron Tabernacle Choir?
Yeah. Speaking of morons, see Rudy Giuliani this week. The judge threw his bankruptcy case out.
He agreed to it.
Yeah, no. Well, he didn't cooperate in anything in proving he was worthy of bankruptcy, so they're going to go after him. Well, there's another victim of Trump. He went out of his way to help Donald Trump and to lie for Donald Trump and to do his bidding, and Trump never returned the loyalty, never pardoned him.
And didn't even pay his legal bills.
Didn't pay him. Yeah. You know, drove him towards bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And Giuliani still...
But guess who should have known that would happen? Rudy.
Everybody should have known.
Everybody does know.
Yeah. I mean, at least Michael Cohen realized it a little bit late. Rudy still hasn't realized it. And neither of a whole bunch of the other people.
Yeah, but they're all hoping that Trump is going to come back in power and they will be redeemed.
They'll be pardoned.
Yeah.
Which would be a travesty.
It certainly would. But that's what Trump is going to do if he gets in power.
Yeah.
But that'll be the least of our troubles if he gets in power.
I'm not so sure, but...
Well, listen, Democratic Party politics that feature picnics, that won't be the way it works anymore if in his next term, if there is a next term. I'd be surprised if the Democratic Party survives what he does to it.
If he allows them to have picnics.
Exactly. People say this guy is a fascist. They don't really know what that means. They're using a word that whose enormity, whose absolute evil, they don't grasp. This is a movement that in my lifetime killed 30 million people, murdered them, 30 million people. For what? For racist aggrandizement. That's for what? That's what we're looking at. They stopped at nothing. They killed children. They killed cripples. They killed whoever they felt.
Gay people.
You know, gay people. Political opponents. Socialists. Communists. Trade unionists. Dissident church people. These are not to be sneezed at. These are serious people. They're not crazy. If they say, or if they don't say it, that's what their history is. And not just in Germany. In Italy, in Spain, in Vichy France, in Hungary, in Croatia, in Chile, in Argentina, in Brazil, in South Africa, wherever they came to power, that's how they exercised their power. That's what we're facing.
That's the book Strong Man.
Yeah.
And by the way, well, in this coming week, I'm going to be speaking to the League of the Pennsylvania League of Democratic Women at their state convention here in Scranton. I'm going to be mentioning some of this stuff. I'm going to be talking primarily about the courts and the Constitution, but I'm going to be talking about the things that are extra constitutional.
Yeah.
Or as they say, was it Russell Vaught, that we're in a post-constitutional state now.
Yeah, post-constitutional state. That's right. Well, this is a dangerous time.
Well, political assassination is post-constitutional.
Yeah. It's
or non-constitutional.
It's non-constitutional. There's no clause in the Constitution that explains how to shoot the president.
No. Or to give him immunity, either.
Or to give him immunity. All right. We'll see what happens this next week. This is going to be some week.
Yeah.
See you next week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.